I have Camille with Gongos. It's an honor to have you on the podcast today. We're here at the CEO Summit, Insights Association. You probably don't even remember this, but we were at a conference at the same time. And I can't remember where it was, but it was ages ago, right when you first started, and you had a customer, Dunkin' Donuts, I believe.
Okay.
Do you remember that? Or
we have actually never worked with Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Crap.
No.
It wasn't Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm trying to think. So how many years ago would it have been?
It was a long time ago. I want to say like 2005, 2006.
Oh,
no?
Best Buy, maybe.
Best Buy. And did you do a custom panel for them?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and it was at TMRE.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Oh,
that's
no.
Right.
That's
TMRE.
It. For sure.
So, okay.
Yes,
so anyway,
Best Buy, Dunkin' Donuts. Best Buy should probably be selling Dunkin' Donuts.
So I tried to do, they would probably agree with you. So I tried to do a custom panel business at Decipher back in like 2001 and 2 for a company called Intuit, which you know, and it just didn't go well at all. And the reason it didn't go well is while the technology itself wasn't particularly difficult, the systems and the processes and the engagement part of it were really, really, really hard, right? So, and I was listening to your presentation. I'm like, holy crap, they've cracked the nut. They've figured out how to really nail that. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your company and, the couple minute sort of overview of where you started and where you are.
Sure. No, thanks for asking. So let's see, where do we start? Gongos is what we call a decision intelligence company. At this stage in the game, we are going on our 28th year of business. Gongos started in 1991 as a traditional marketing research, custom, ad hoc, you know, qual quant business. And we were very, very successful at that for our first 23-ish years. But about 5 years ago is where we sort of evolved into this decision intelligence business, which is still very much rooted in consumer insights. That's our, you know, the core to what we do. But over the last 5-6 years, we've built other capabilities around that insights function to really help where we saw a pain point with our clients, which was in sort of moving insights further up the value chain. Well, I should say further up as well as starting them further back in the value chain. So ensuring that our clients are really leading with a customer-centric strategy to fuel their growth.
It's interesting hearing how McDonald's framed it yesterday.
Absolutely.
I thought, right? Matt did a great job of asking two questions, and I tweeted about that. And of course, I'm going to forget right now, but I think it was centric to, like, you know, what is the
curiosity.
Curiosity was
big.
The centric.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then one was internal question of, you know, basically put yourself in the shoes of the customer, get to know the customer.
And that empathetic approach, right? And I think we heard somebody else yesterday talking too about, I think it was General Mills, right? I can't remember the gentleman's name, but the guy from General Mills talked about, you know, for a week making their executives live on the budget of a typical customer.
I love that.
I did too. I mean, it's such a, in order to truly be a customer-centric organization, you've got to walk in their shoes.
Brands have gone through this massive evolution in five years, like the what a CEO cares about has completely changed. I'm not going to go so far as to say they didn't care about the customer before, but it was much more of a competitive, I remember terms like share of wallet and share of mind is all about, like, how do I get more from that? You know, it's almost like we're pirates, you know, in the brand space.
Yeah.
And we want to take the customer's wealth or mind share. And now it's really changed to a partnership. And that was one of the things also that stood out in McDonald's.
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
And we're firm believers in, you know, the companies that are doing it right and seeing the way are trying to build reciprocal relationships with their customers. And they've got a great platform to do it because they have more customer data than they've ever had before.
Right. There's no excuses.
No. Well, and customers know that they're giving you information. When I scan that loyalty card, I'm not a dummy, right? I know you're figuring out who I am, what I'm doing. So great. In exchange for that, give me a great product or service. You know who I am. You know what I want. There's no excuse for not innovating with the customer in mind these days. So,
yeah, absolutely right. Do you have the Amazon card?
I do.
Right. I mean, I think that's like the perfect example because it's got really good rewards on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, irrespective, it's got fantastic rewards on it. But the value there is, and it's not expensive, and the value there is they know more about me. right, outside of the Amazon experience.
Right.
So it just gets bigger, right? It just kind of keeps bigger and bigger.
And better and better.
Better and better
for
the consumer. That's true, actually.
To me, that's the expectation, right? Yeah. If you're going to continue learning about me, great. But my expectation now is in exchange for that.
Totally.
We have more. I'm going to help you grow as a, you know, as a brand, because yep. I'm going to be loyal to you. But you help me in my life and cater to my needs.
Totally. And partner, like the McDonald's guy said about, you know, how can I add value to you? And so like the two for four or whatever, yep. you know, that kind of framework feels like a valuable exchange.
It really does.
More of a partnership.
Yeah.
So I wanted to touch on one point that I found very interesting in your presentation. And that was, you guys went through a material journey in that wasn't really cast as rebranding. It was almost like revision, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And that took 4 years?
4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Four to five years. We're still on it. Probably always will be.
What I thought was interesting is that you took that much time and the patience surrounding that in order to do it right.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really dive into that, but like how do you get into that psychological? Because most CEOs, they're like, okay, tomorrow.
We're going to do this. Right. I think somebody said yesterday, like, okay, it's Friday. When you come back on Monday, this is what we're going to be. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't work so well. The talk that I gave yesterday, I think that, you know, we call it business model transformation. It could easily also be relabeled as the art of urgent patience. And I think that's exactly what you're referring to. It's like, as the CEO, I know where we want to go. I can see it. But you can't, and I've got an urgency, a sense of urgency, but you've got to, again, meet people where they are, just like we're asking our customers to meet their, or our clients to meet their customers where they are. We had to meet our employees where they were for this to work out correctly. And we, you know, went through various ups and downs, the cycle of anything that's great. You know, you go through those pits of despair and back up to feeling really good about it. We did that multiple times over the last 4 to 5 years. But I don't think we, with our company and our culture, could have done it any other way to lead it to the success that it has been. And has it taken a while? It has. It's taken discipline and perseverance, but we had goals that we knew we needed to meet. We kept those in sight, and we checked in every quarter to see where we were against those goals. So that makes you feel like you're making forward movement, even if it does take 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, and you know? I do. And I think a lot of people, CEOs specifically, and their teams that don't have the experience will have a strategic objective, and they will plan on it. Okay, this is going to be Q1.
Right.
You've got to understand that your staff, they're 3 months behind.
At least.
And you just have to keep banging the drum, and eventually their feet are going to start moving.
Yep.
Right. But yeah. You just can't go.
You can't
that,
just go.
Right.
It's, I mean, a good metaphor for that. I started running recently. Had never run more than a block in my life. And I had a group of people that talked me into doing a marathon relay last year. I only did the 3 mile stint, but still, having never run, to do 3 miles for me was a big deal. In my head, I wanted to get out there and just go
You're totally gonna win.
Just run. But here's the deal. You do that, you get cramps. You get a stomach ache. You get leg cramps. Same as this journey in change management. Like, you start out full steam and you're not bringing your body along with you. You're just causing more disruption than you are benefit. And the path actually becomes longer to get there because you injure yourself, you feel sick. So it is really the art of urgent patience.
Yeah, they actually call that negative split. So when you're running, you're halfway, your last half should be faster than your first half.
Yes, exactly. But it's so hard as an athlete to tell yourself that that's okay.
Yeah, totally. And I love that analogy because, you know, there's 400 meters, there's 1600, there's 5Ks, there's 10, there's halves, fulls. And in that framework, you've got to bring the right mentality and plan in order to realize a win in that, or a completion in my case.
Yeah.
For that particular.
And so much of it is a mental game. It's not your body giving out, it's your mind sending your body signals.
That's
right?
That's 1000% true.
Yeah.
Most people don't quite. Yeah, that's it isn't the limiter on the body most of the time. It's usually the
same thing with business, though.
Pain.
It's your mind, right? And it's messaging in a way that gets people figuring out what their reasons to believe are, meeting them where they are, and bringing them along with you.
If someone wants to get in contact with you or someone else at Gongos, how would they do that?
A best way is email cnicita@gongos.com.
Will you spell that, please?
Sure. cnicita at GONGOS.com.
Perfect. Camille, thanks so much for being on the Happy Market Research Podcast.
Thanks.